So, Linda Dardarian, partner of Goldstein, Borgen, Dardarian & Ho, Scott Labar, who is a partner of the Labar Law Practice, and Mary Lee Kimber Smith, who is Director of Litigation of Disability Rights Advocates. We'll start with Linda.
Actually, I think we'll start with Mary Lee.
What? Mary Lee's going to go first.
Oh, Mary Lee?
We're screwing up your order.
Yeah, I asked them, and they said Linda, but anyway, they changed their minds here. So, Mary Lee, why don't you begin?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Mary Lee Smith. And we are honored to be here to talk about Larry. Knowing what we do about Larry, he would probably feel slightly embarrassed by the fuss, but I know that he would also really be honored to have the respect of his colleagues in this room. And so Linda and I are going to talk a little bit about his life and his legacy, and I'll turn it over to Linda.
Thanks, Mary Lee.
I've had the privilege of knowing Larry for a couple of decades as a colleague, as a friend, as co-counsel, and as a member of the Board of Directors of Disability Rights Advocates. And my experience with Larry, which is similar to the experience of all of you who knew him, was that he really was a rare gem of a person. Larry was a brilliant and creative litigator and legal strategist. He was a powerful advocate, while at the same time being a truly decent and kind man. Larry was profoundly influential in many ways, and I'm just going to focus on a couple of them. First, 24 years ago, back in the early days of Bill Clinton's administration, in 1993, Larry co-founded Disability Rights Advocates, which under his leadership and due to Larry's very hard work and dedication has grown from a tiny outpost in another law firm with just three people and has grown into a litigation powerhouse, a true institution with two offices on two coasts doing groundbreaking impact litigation on behalf of people with disabilities all over the country. And second, Larry has successfully litigated landmark precedent-setting cases that have literally changed the landscape for people with disabilities in all facets of contemporary life. Larry always took on cases that were novel and hard-fought, and in pretty much any area of disability rights, there is a precedent-setting decision with Larry's name on it. For example, in Barden versus Sacramento, Larry established that people with disabilities have the right to access sidewalks and curb ramps freely and independently to travel in the pedestrian right of way and not risk their lives having to travel in the street with cars. In Bates versus UPS, Larry established the rights of people who are deaf and hard of hearing to have jobs as delivery drivers. In NFB versus Target, Larry and the team established that people with disabilities have rights in cyberspace. In California Council of the Blind versus Alameda County, Larry established that people who are blind have the fundamental right to go to their polling places and vote independently and privately without the interference or assistance from a sighted person. In Lieber versus Macy's West, Larry set the standard for providing access to merchandise on display racks in retail stores throughout the country. And recently in NFB versus Uber, Larry convinced the court that the mandates of Title III could apply to players in the gig economy, and that, in Larry's words, companies cannot ignore the rights of people with disabilities because those companies use a new technology or a novel business model. Those are just some of the highlights of Larry's body of achievements, which are so broad and so substantial. He also had significant victories in recreation, healthcare, education, and transportation, and he's provided the foundation for the rest of us to build on and use to achieve access in other cities with other retailers with other educational institutions and healthcare providers, allowing his impact to spread even further throughout the country. And Larry did this through careful and strategic thinking, developing legal theories to apply to emerging issues. He based his theories in his deep and broad knowledge of the law. Larry studied every single case that was issued in the areas of disability rights and class actions. He knew legislative history, he knew regulations and regulatory history, and he used that strong foundation in the law in order to push it further. He was also a master in the courtroom, not by being flashy or theatrical, but by being down to earth, conversational, knowledgeable, and credible. Larry was extraordinarily accomplished, but he was also modest, understated, and easygoing. He was one of the country's most successful civil rights litigators, but he was always a very kind and decent person, never an egomaniac or a jerk. Larry was very caring. He loved his work. He loved this legal community. He loved this conference. Traveling cross-country was very hard for Larry. It was difficult and dangerous for him. But he regularly flew across the country in order to be at this conference because he valued all of us so much. He valued this community, and he found getting together at this conference to be so enriching. And he loved making people's lives better. In that way, Larry was a huge success. As a lawyer and as a friend, he made our lives better. And he continues to do so through his example, his inspiration, and the foundation he provided for us to carry on his legacy, fighting the good fight and supporting one another the way Larry did. Mary Lee.
Thanks, Linda. The amazing part about Larry, too, is that while he was doing everything Linda just described, he somehow made time to mentor so many attorneys. And Larry was my mentor, and then later on a colleague and a good friend. And my legal career always included Larry. I started as a summer clerk at Disability Rights Advocates. Larry taught me so much, including how to measure the running slope of a curb ramp, which was fascinating. Despite this, I decided that I really wanted to go into disability rights litigation, though I still do know how to measure that running slope. And then during the 12 years that I worked with Larry, he continued to teach me so much, and he really molded me into the attorney I am today, and for that I am indebted to him. I want to take a moment sort of to share with you a little bit about what it meant to be mentored by Larry and just share some of my experiences. Larry was always there for you as an attorney. He was there during my first oral argument to the court. He sat calmly beside me while my voice cracked and my hands shook and I looked like a mess. But nonetheless, at the end, he shook my hand, ignoring the sweaty palms, and congratulated me, because that was how Larry was. He only saw the best in people. And Larry was there for my first very contentious meet and confer with opposing counsel. Afterwards, I went into his office holding back the tears and saying, I just don't understand why they don't like me. And he understood. It was tough. You're a new attorney. And he just nodded and said it would be fine, and it was. Larry was there as I worked on my first case. He was there from the initial intake through trial, through settlement. It was a great settlement against the California Department of Transportation. And I used to always say, what Caltrans taught me was pretty, the California Department of Transportation case taught me was, what I needed to know about the law. But the more I've reflected on it, it had nothing to do with the case as much as it had to do with Larry Paradis, for he is who taught me what I need to know about the law. Larry was there also as I branched out and, found my own interests, developed my own ideas. Some flopped, others succeeded. And his last day in the office, I consulted him on a case. I went into his office, and he was so incredibly supportive. And he told me that it was time to start to trust my own instincts. And that will live with me forever. For no matter how I may feel insecure about my legal abilities, which we all do at times, I know that Larry taught me well, and that can never be denied. But the amazing part about this is I'm not the only one. He did this for countless other attorneys. He believed it was a part of the mission of DRA and a part of his work to what he called mentor or raise the next generation of civil rights attorneys. And looking back, he did a great job, not just at DRA, but beyond. The lives he touched of so many attorneys in helping them develop who they are today was amazing. Throughout the time I worked with Larry, I would also like to think I learned about Larry and not just about the law. I saw his courage. The fact that a legal argument or a case had never been done before completely motivated and energized him. I saw his compassion, because for Larry, it was all access that mattered, no matter how insurmountably big or seemingly unimportant. That's what mattered to Larry, is access. And then I also saw his humanity, his kids' artwork in his office, and his final letter to the disability rights community. And even though I miss him, and actually because I miss him, I feel like it is my responsibility, actually our responsibility, to continue Larry's legacy, and as he put it in his own words, so that the dream will endure. And again, I take that to heart, and we will miss him sorely, but the legacy and the work that he leaves for us is really amazing.
I first met Larry when the American Bar Association still classified me as a young lawyer, so that was a while back. I met him because the ABA Commission on Disability Rights was presenting to Larry and disability rights advocates its Paul G. Hearn Award, and we were in San Francisco, and Larry went out of his way to come and meet me and talk to me about my practice and what I was doing in the ABA at that time and so on. And I was struck by his curiosity and his true willingness to get to know other lawyers with disabilities and to help promote other lawyers with disabilities. I co-counseled cases with Larry and learned that he truly was the quintessential role model attorney. He was an extremely zealous advocate. And in fact, because of that zeal, I had the very enjoyable experience several times of discussing strategy with Dan Goldstein and Larry. And most of the conversation was between Dan and Larry. And I think they both got a bunch more gray hairs as a result of those conversations. But what resulted from those conversations and those strategy sessions was indeed the best strategy for our clients in those cases. I am currently chair of the Disability Rights Bar Association, and I'm a founding member of DRBA. So was Larry. And if it weren't for Larry and many others, but in particular Larry, we wouldn't have the strong organization that we now have. There is so much that we can say about Larry and the great work he did. But the true testament to the kind of person he was is the fact that his spirit is most definitely in this room and will be for a long time. So tonight, at our reception, I hope all of you will join me in a toast and raise our glasses in honor of Larry. Thank you.